want to live a high vibe life with radiant energy levels, juicy sexual vitality, and have great success manifesting abundance in your life. Welcome to the Sexual Kung Fu Podcast, where we dive deep into sexual mastery and how to use sexual energy to magnetize your ideal life.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday? Thursday. Today's Thursday. Man, what a week it's been. I'm in week three of a detox I've been doing. It's been pretty intense, I'm not going to lie. I'm cleansing heavy metals, molds, parasites, all kinds of shit. It's good. I know I'm going to feel really good when it's over, but it's been up and down, I will say. But no, it's good. Can't complain. Let's just get right into it. Today, I'm going to be talking about how to master non-ejaculatory orgasms as a man. As a man in this world, 2023, how you can master the ability to have non-ejaculatory orgasms. And who doesn't want this? Mastering non-ejaculatory orgasms. So here's the thing, guys. First of all, why would a man want to have a non-ejaculatory orgasm? What are the benefits? Well, when we look at the conventional ejaculatory orgasm, they're fun. They feel good, but they're very short-lived. They only last about 5 seconds. How do you feel afterwards? You feel a bit relieved. You feel relaxed. You feel calm, but often you feel tired, fatigued, and you lack the level of energy that you had prior to having that ejaculation. So there's a drop in your energy level. And this is, you know, the stereotype of the man who ejaculates, then rolls over and falls asleep. You go limp. You can't get it up again. You're in a temporary state of impotence. So that's one of the downsides of ejaculating. It's also, as you know, most of you, I'm sure, know, if you've been following me or if you've learned about this work elsewhere, you know that an ejaculation is a release of life force for a man. And it's not like all of your life force. Obviously, if it was, you would die from it. You don't die from ejaculating. But it can become very depleting if you're doing this over and over and over. If you're doing it too frequently. It's not a case of like, you should never, ever ejaculate. That's not it. Clearly, you can ejaculate many times and be okay. But the thing is, if you ejaculate every single day, after a while, it catches up with you. Catches up with you in your 20s and your 30s. So the thing is you don't need to ejaculate every time you have sex. And you can actually derive way more pleasure, way more orgasm, and way more satisfaction by having non-ejaculatory orgasms primarily rather than ejaculatory orgasms. When you're having non-ejaculatory orgasms, there's no end to sex. It ends when you want it to end. It ends when you and your partner feel complete, rather than like, oh, well, sorry, baby, I blew it a little early. Let's watch some TV. No, it lasts as long as you want. So this helps really even out the gap that there often is, the sexual gap between men and women, where women are often unfulfilled because their partner has premature ejaculation, which is a very common issue. And the other benefit is that you're ready to go 24/7. There's no refractory period if you're choosing to not ejaculate during sex. You can have sex as much as you want, as often as you want, pretty much for as long as you want when you get good at the sexual kung fu practices of ejaculation control. So that's kind of the why would you want to have non-ejaculatory versus ejaculatory orgasms. So why is it that men, pretty much all men, only primarily experience ejaculatory orgasms? It really comes down to our conditioning around sexuality, how we learned about our bodies, really the lack of education that we had on this as men. We were programmed. We programmed ourselves, really, through teenage masturbation mostly. Our masturbation habits in our teenage years formed our basis of our sexual experience. And what the majority of men have done is programmed a stress response in their bodies to sexual pleasure, to arousal, a stress response. There's many reasons for this. A big reason is often just like, you know, I'm afraid my mom's going to walk in on me, so let's get this over with quickly. Another big component of this is porn conditioning, overstimulation of the senses, overstimulation of the visual kind of perception, triggering a overexcitation, exaggerated sexual stimulation in the mind and the body, leading to a very quick buildup to ejaculation. It overstimulates you and it completely disrupts your arousal response. So because of porn, because of rushed masturbation habits, because of squeezing the, another big thing is squeezing the pelvic floor during masturbation, which I did as a teenager and into my early 20s. The reason for doing this being that if it makes the penis feel more sensitive, it feels more pleasurable. It brings you up to that ejaculatory peak much quicker. The problem is that this is engaging a stress response. The body strengthening what I would call the sympathetic circuit. The sympathetic nervous system is the fight or flight response. So when you're primarily have this circuit running, so to speak, in your sexual experiences, which again, for men who are premature ejaculators, they are running the sympathetic circuit pretty much primarily as their sexual experience. And that's what, so ejaculation is a function of that sympathetic nervous system. So when you're stuck in the fight or flight response, when you have a stress response to sexual arousal, it means you're going to ejaculate quickly. And over time, of course, this leads to premature ejaculation as your norm for your sexual experience. This leads to weak orgasms because you're ejaculating every day. The orgasms just aren't that impressive. Sexual unfulfillment and boredom after a while when you're just stuck in the same, you know, monotonous, short-lived experience of sex. Porn-induced erectile dysfunction, low libido from over-ejaculating, having a lack of sexual confidence, having anxiety around sex. A lot of men experience anxiety around sex. Sex should be this joyous, beautiful, you know, ideally very enjoyable experience, but it's not for a lot of people. It's full of anxiety. It's full of worry. It's full of, oh, am I doing this right? How do I look? Are they enjoying this? Oh God, what am I, you know, it's often a source of anxiety for people. And this leads to unhealthy relationships with sex. A lot of men develop this addictive, impulsive connection to ejaculation where they use it as stress relief. You're literally discharging your life force to get a little bit of stress relief. It's very short lived. So that's, you know, just kind of some things to be aware of. First of all, kind of the context of this, right? So overall, men have a stress response to sex. And because of this, they're only experiencing ejaculatory orgasms because they only have that sympathetic nervous system kind of pathway ingrained into their sexual experience. So to start experiencing non-ejaculatory orgasms and have good ejaculation control, the ability to control when and if you ejaculate, it's a choice. This requires making a shift in your mind, your body, and your sexual dynamics. Because here's the thing. You've been doing things a certain way, probably your whole life. You know, I was masturbating a certain way pretty much every day for 10 years. From like 13 years old when I started masturbating until 22, 23 when I learned about sexual kung fu and started practicing this stuff. And you know what? It wasn't easy to change the habits and the dynamics I had literally wired into my body. An analogy I've been using a lot recently is it's literally like relearning how to walk. Because some men masturbate more than they walk. You know what I'm saying? You know who you are, guys. But what do I mean by this is that we learned how to walk when we were, 2, 3 years old. I forget the exact age this happens, but or maybe riding a bicycle is something that's more memorable because when you first learn to ride a bicycle, when you're a kid, it seems a bit daunting. It's like, oh man, it's kind of scary. Like I could fall over and how do I balance on this thing? But pretty quickly it becomes just part of your subconscious mind. You don't have to think about what am I doing? How am I balancing? No, you can, you know, you see people looking at their phones, no hands on their handlebars going down the street. So you've developed enough of a pathway in your mind and body to where you're not really thinking about what you're doing and you're going into these habitual responses in your neural network of your body, basically. This is what we're doing with sex. with masturbation, with sexual pleasure, is the first times we did it, you know, in our early teenage years, most of us, we were first forming this neural network around our arousal response. What's happening in our bodies? What are we doing? How are we stimulating ourselves? How are we responding to it? Are we enjoying it? Are we breathing deeply? Are we relaxing, or are we tensing up and just forcing ourselves into an ejaculatory orgasm? So after enough of that, again, you just have a certain pattern that you tend to be stuck in, your mind, your body, how you breathe, whether you're relaxed or tense. You're no longer thinking about these things. It's just, you're doing it the same way you've been doing, right? So the key to changing an aspect of your sexual experience, learning to have non-ejaculatory orgasms, for example, requires rewiring this neural network that you have, this mind-body connection. It requires bringing consciousness into what's happening within sex, whether that's sex with a partner or sex by yourself, which can both be equally blissful and beneficial. So here's the thing. The most common things that men are doing during sex that is locking them in a stress response to where they can only have ejaculatory orgasms, tension. Tension is the biggest thing here. So think parasympathetic nervous system or sympathetic nervous system. If you can stay in the parasympathetic nervous system, the calm, at ease, relaxed state, you're going to experience massively more sexual pleasure, have massively more control, and basically you're not going to ejaculate if you're staying in the parasympathetic nervous system. To ejaculate, you have to switch into sympathetic fight or flight response in the body. It's a tension response, basically. And so when you're in tension, when your body's tense, your muscles are contracted, especially the pelvic floor muscles. This is the biggest thing. If you pay attention to this, you'll notice as you're having, you know, just sexually stimulating, what we experience as the buildup towards an ejaculation, it's a buildup of tension in the pelvic floor. There's this communication happening between the penis and the nerves in the pelvic floor, specifically around the prostate area. And what we experience is that buildup to an ejaculation is, you think of it like all this pressure, this contraction starting to build around the prostate. And once it reaches that maximum level, it triggers the ejaculation response. So the prostate starts spasming, starts shooting semen out. That's the sticky sneeze of ejaculation. It's a tension response because enough tension had to build up in your pelvic floor to trigger that. So tension brings you to ejaculation. What goes hand in hand with this is your breathing. The breath is a very simple way to change your nervous system state, your mind and body. This is something that can connect these things. Is your breathing pattern. You can always change it, but it's naturally happening unconsciously. How most men are breathing during sex, if they're premature ejaculators, they're breathing very shallow breaths. Their belly's tense. They're breathing from up in the chest, often like kind of a, or just kind of holding their breath as well. This shallow breathing increases stress in the body. It increases your stress response. Chest breathing puts you in the sympathetic nervous system. So it's another thing that causes this buildup to ejaculate. So what do we want to do instead? Deep, slow belly breathing. Put your hands on your belly. Exhale out the mouth. Let out a sigh. Deep breath. Do that. Practice doing that during self-stimulation. Use that during sex. Now, you don't have to keep it super slow. You can amp it up a little bit. But the important thing is it's deep breathing from the belly. Deep, powerful breathing. Making some sound. Sound helps to move things. Energy gets stuck in the genitals. You have to ejaculate. Move it through the body. Vibrate it by expressing yourself with sound. A lot of men are afraid to express themselves in the bedroom. And it all gets pent up in the genitals and they have to release it through ejaculation. So sound can create this release within the body. So you're breathing deeply, you're relaxing. Here's the other thing, making sure your pelvic floor stays relaxed. This is why Kegels are a terrible idea if you have premature ejaculation. You're getting zero benefit from them. It's making the situation worse because Kegels tend to strengthen that sympathetic circuit in your sexual response. So learn to, I almost guarantee if you have premature ejaculation, you have pelvic floor tension patterns, meaning that when your penis is being stimulated, your pelvic floor is contracting in response. And that is pushing you to premature ejaculation, to ejaculate. Okay, so breath, keep the pelvic floor relaxed. These are all requirements, kind of the foundations for being able to have non-ejaculatory orgasms. So work on that. Practice breathing deeply during self-stimulation, during sex. Practice keeping your pelvic floor relaxed, doing like pelvic floor exercises, stretch routines. I have a great stretch, a great routine that I use personally that's in my multi-orgasmic man course that helps to completely overcome this issue over time. But getting back, so now looking into like, okay, well, how do we actually have these non-ejaculatory orgasms that you promise us, Jonathan? Okay, here's the good stuff. So now this is the first thing. We need to have a relaxation response to sexual stimulation rather than a stress response. That's the foundation. So the first thing here, we need to redefine orgasm. If you associate orgasm as being what you experience as an ejaculation, you're going to run into a problem here because you're going to be expecting that. You're going to be pushing yourself back in that direction and it's going to limit your progress. You're going to be frustrated and wonder, well, he's full of shit. It's just not happening. I went to the point of return. I tried to pull my energy up. No dry orgasm. It's a completely different experience than an ejaculatory orgasm, which is why I encourage you to redefine orgasm. My definition of orgasm is a pleasurable sensation, pleasurable feeling within the body that is outside your like normal 24/7 experience. That's a pretty broad definition, right? And it liberates us because it gives us something else to look for. You could say, oh, you know what? With that definition, yeah, I'm having orgasms all the time. Maybe they're not the most, you know, crazy cosmic, I had experienced making love with the universe type of experience, but it's something, right? It's a starting point. It's something like, okay, I can agree that that was a pleasurable sexual experience. Boom, that's an orgasm, baby. So now we have this baseline. It only can build and build and build from there rather than, no, it has to be the ejaculatory experience without the ejaculation. Because what we're doing in sexual kung fu is, again, coming back to this ejaculation as a buildup in the genitals. It's a buildup of tension. Part of this is energy. It's your nervous system energy, but it's, you know, chi, your sexual energy. Because men's bodies are locked up with tension, they've closed the pathway between the genitals and the rest of the body, which is meant to be open. I think it would naturally be open if we had a natural upbringing around sexuality, which we didn't. We had a very unnatural, very shameful, guiltful, you know, don't touch your penis, Jimmy, or you'll go to hell for eternity. That was a lot of us's, you know, what we were taught about sexuality is it's dirty, it's wrong, it's shameful. You're a horrible person if you do it. And because of that, we've locked the connection of our genitals and our sexual energy to the rest of our body, which is too bad because it creates a very limited experience of sex. So this is the thing. All that pressure building up in the genitals, if we can allow that pressure to move and spread through the whole body, this nervous system energy frees up to connect to the whole body. Now we feel sexual pleasure everywhere. We feel it in our spine. We feel it in the belly. You feel it in your heart. You feel it in your brain. You feel it in your hands. I had an orgasm in my thigh muscle once. So when you reopen that connection, allow the sexual energy, the buildup to spread through your whole body. It pushes you in this different direction rather than only building up in the genitals to an ejaculatory release. Now the whole body is freed up to experience this sexual, a different type of sexual buildup. And what it is for me when I started experiencing this and realizing what it was as the valley orgasm, as it's often known in Tantra and the Taoist sexual practices, is it's an altered state that you start to enter into where everything just feels really good. There's all this pleasure happening in your genitals. There's an emotional openness. You feel deeply connected to your partner. There's this, it's very, very pleasurable. No, it's not especially not initially. It's not the like, oh shit, I'm coming. Oh fuck. Oh, that's over. It's not that, right? That's intense. If you know, we all know ejaculation feels good, but then it's over. It's gone. You can't do it again. With this type of experience, there's no end to it. So it's like, okay, initially compared to ejaculation, it's not quite on that level yet when you first start having it. But you can ride it for as long as you want. It's more stable of like, oh yeah, this feels good. Ooh, I'm in this altered state of orgasm. And you can ride it for as long as you want. And having said that, when you train, open up your body, open up your mind, build your chi, build your sexual energy. These orgasms can become much more intense than an ejaculation. I've had mind-blowing non-ejaculatory orgasms. You know, just to share one, I was with, you know, having sex with my partner, and we were looking into each other's eyes, and all of a sudden it was like I felt this buildup up in my belly, and then it went up into my heart, like a similar feeling to like when you're about to ejaculate, you know, that like woo woo feeling in the genitals, except it was in my belly, and then it was in my heart, and then it was up in my crown, then it was like I was ejaculating out the crown of my head, and it was like our bodies completely like dissolved into this just very, very orgasmic, juicy, lustful, yet heart-centric, loving, just, it's hard to explain. It's just like this blob of nothingness and everythingness and absolute bliss and ecstasy. And this went on for several minutes. And I was like, holy shit, like that is an orgasm. That's a non-ejaculatory orgasm, baby. So that's, you know, just, that's what it could be. That's the potential that's out there. Most men have only experienced a small fraction of the sexual pleasure that they could be feeling. I mean, men and everyone, men, women, everybody had, the majority of them have only experienced a fraction of the sexual experience that they could be feeling. One other thing I want to mention here. One other thing I want to say on this, and I'll give you guys some practical tools, and I'll get into answering your guys' questions. I know there's a lot coming in. The biggest barrier to this, to experiencing this, is basically a lack of time, a lack of really being able to indulge in a sexual experience because we don't give ourselves the time to do it. Again, coming back to as teenagers, some of us were like, hey, my mom's going to walk in every minute. I better get this over with quick. So 5 minutes, you're not going to get into a full body state in 5 minutes. So it becomes this rush thing. Again, coming back into it, this being a stress response, it's like, okay, I got to get this over with quick. So what do us men do? We often are like, okay, how can I get to an ejaculation in the shortest time possible? That's often without realizing it, what we're doing by squeezing the pelvic floor, by tensing up the body, tensing up the breath. So you're only going to be able to experience an ejaculation when you have this kind of like very short-lived, rushed experience of sex. And, you know, something I've been thinking about is how for us, sex is, as a human, sex is one of the most natural things we can do. I mean, it's literally like we're, you know, eat, sleep, breathe, sex. Like, it's as natural as those things. And yet, for whatever reason, somewhere in time, there developed all of this baggage, all this shaming, all this guilting. You know, someone was like, let's put in this context. Imagine that someone had decided that the ear was very inappropriate for you to expose to anyone. Like, your ear is dirty. It's shameful. You should never show it. You shouldn't touch it. You shouldn't touch anyone else's. And so we'd all like have our ears covered up. And then if you had your ear uncovered, it'd be like, oh my God, there'd be like underground ear porn. People would be like rubbing their ears in public. I know it sounds absurd, but like, that's pretty much what we've done with the genitals. Someone just decided like, this is dirty. This is, you know, we got to hide this thing. Of course, you know, religion, politics, all kinds of bullshit, control systems, you know, you literally have us by the balls by creating all this shame and guilt around this area of the body. So something as natural as sexuality, we're never taught about it. And therefore, we only indulge in it like in very short-lived time periods in secret, in private. I'm not saying you should go out and masturbate in public, but you know what I'm saying, hopefully. And it's like, again, sex is a very basic function of our human experience. And I believe it's a tool designed to bring us health, bliss, joy, and healing, loving connection. Not just procreation. I believe there's much, much more to it. So we're not taught how to tap into this. We're only, you know, we only kind of repeat what we saw in porn. So it's like, imagine never being taught how to eat properly, never learning how to cook, never learning, it's like you know, you shouldn't eat. Eating's wrong. It's dirty. Imagine how many like neuroses that would create around this. You'd be very fucked up. Well, that's what's happened to all of us sexually. We're all sexually fucked up. To be alive on this planet, there's kind of no way around it. So just understanding that. So basically what I'm saying is that for a man, if you want to learn to have non-ejaculatory orgasms, you've got to take the time with your sexual experiences. Relax, feel your body, touch your body, not just your penis, not just your cock. Touch it everywhere. Allow your whole body to become awakened. Take your time. Not just, oh, thrust away. No, okay. Slow down. Focus on breathing. Focus on relaxing. And this is how you start experiencing non-ejaculatory orgasms. Don't expect it to happen the first time you do it. Don't even expect to have an orgasm. Coming back into that redefining orgasm. It's not about... The non-ejaculatory orgasm isn't about making an orgasm happening. It's not like, okay, I got to make myself do, you know, ejaculate, make myself orgasm. No, it's something that it's a state you enter into because you're absorbing your awareness into what is happening. You're absorbing your mind into the pleasure that you're feeling. You're breathing into it because what we usually do as men is when we feel sexual pleasure, we tense up. So it's like we don't feel comfortable feeling it in other areas of our body. So we tense up and keep it constricted to the genitals. So notice that tendency to hold your breath, to breathe shallow. Notice your tendency to tense up different areas of the body. Be aware of that and start to focus on, as you're feeling sexual pleasure, relaxing. Okay, I'm starting to tense up. Let's just relax. Use the fingertips rather than the fist death grip. Think of it as being a massage. Breathe. Relax deeper and deeper into it. Surrender into the experience. See if you can get the whole body involved. And that will put you on a path towards really, really, really expanding your sexual experience, which is all what it's all about. And so we're shifting into this relaxation approach of releasing resistance, releasing tension that's blocking you from feeling sexual pleasure and getting you stuck in ejaculatory orgasm and opening up to massive amounts of pleasure, surrendering into it, riding those waves, breathing into it, breathing into the pleasure rather than tensing up. Okay. I think I've shared. It's a good download for now. Let me know if you guys have any questions. Put it in the chat box. We'll get to that in a moment. But I want to say here is, and coming back to this theme of we have to overcome these unconscious habits because, again, I know it's challenging for you guys to learn this stuff. It was challenging for me to learn this. But I made a decision. I committed. I was like, I want to do this. I'm going to do whatever it takes to master this aspect, to get out of this old porn conditioned, lustful, just impulsive, just literally draining myself with ejaculation and learn to have a very sustained experience of blissful sexual pleasure and capture my sexual energy as a source of fuel, creativity, drive, ambition, vitality, masculinity. And this is what I did with it. I was able to do it and you can do it too. And I know it can be difficult to overcome these old unconscious habits, but it can be done. It just requires training. It requires dedication and commitment. And when you work with the sexual kung fu system, there's a reason why I have a whole system with this. There's foundational tools that help you to overcome the old kind of mental barriers and blockages. And then you start to add in new patterns, build your chi, open up the energy channels. Without this kind of foundations, this sequence of training, it's difficult to really learn this stuff. It could take you years and years and years, but you can do it a lot quicker than that. You can massively upgrade your sexual experience in just a few months. And so if you're ready to commit fully to transforming your mind, your body, and spirit, become a master of your sexual energy, and be able to harness your sexual pleasure for more joy, creativity, abundance, and live an amazing life with it, then you need to train. You got to commit to it all the way, baby. If you guys want a really valuable tool that will help you guide you through from start to finish. This is why I created my Multi-Orgasmic Man 12-week course. It's complete training to help you do this from start to finish. All the foundational tools, learning to rebalance the nervous system, getting out of the stress response to sex, learning to reconnect with your body in a loving, pleasurable way, and learn to feel this sexual pleasure through your whole body. Learn to channel it into whatever you want to put it into, becoming more of yourself. So that's what you're going to learn in the course. Registration is open right now, and it's open until tomorrow evening, just over 24 hours to get into the course. It's a life-changing work. So there's a link in this YouTube video. There's a link in my Instagram bio. Again, just over 24 hours to get into Multi-Orgasmic Man. Added a couple of new bonuses to this course as well. I want to mention here. I added some short video, all the practices. They're short video practices. Literally every single day, you can click a button, hit play. If you only have 5 minutes to practice, that's fine. Hit play on the video, follow it through. No excuses not to get your daily practice in. I also added basically a separate little mini course on sleep, being able to sleep well. Practices known as Shui Gong. They're kind of like Qigong for sleeping that you do when you're laying in bed to help you to, you know, quiet your mind, relax your body, and put you into a restful sleep, which is very valuable when you're learning sexual energy because it can be very stimulating. So I'll just do some things that are in the course. And of course, all the, you know, 12 modules of trainings. Multi-Orgasmic Man is open till tomorrow evening. So links in the description, links in my bio. Let's do it. All right, guys, I'm going to answer some questions now.
Paramar Yogi 11
wants me to call his name. I called your name. Paramar Yogi. I might be saying that wrong. I apologize. All right. What do we got? What do we got? Psilocybin mushrooms. Maybe I'll answer that later. Like, watch any of my other lives. I feel like every live recently, someone's been asking about this, and I don't feel like getting into the whole thing. So watch my last live before that on YouTube. Basically, I don't do them anymore. I don't like to take substances anymore. Yeah. They can help and they can hurt. I'll say that. Hadid Vargas. I think I'm missing part of this. Oh, wait. Okay, basically, Hadid saying, I felt a lot of these things you mentioned while high. I'm guessing high on drugs. Marijuana, crack cocaine, what was it? This guy's high on crystal meth doing microcosmic orbit. Crazy. So it's basically saying you're having strong, you're feeling the practices when you're on substances, but you're not while sober. Well, this is the whole thing. This is one of the dangers of work. You know, people become reliant on things like weed, you know, marijuana, crack coke. Well, people, I don't think crack cocaine, like the internal energy arts, are as big of a thing, but like, you know, psychedelics, marijuana, these kinds of things are quite common with, you know, people who are into this stuff. Sure, they can open you up to like be more sensitive to energy and like have energetic experiences. But the problem is that you're not learning to do that on your own. And you become reliant on them. And ultimately, in the long run, you're just going to get stuck. You're going to hit a glass ceiling pretty much right from the beginning in your practice. This is the thing. The path of internal energy cultivation, it's not the fast path. Everyone wants the quick and easy. Take a pill, smoke some weed, make it happen. That's not how anything worth doing works. That's not how anything that keeps, you know, that you can keep developing more and more in the long run works. Anything that's quick and easy is guaranteed to get you stuck in the long run. So when you practice sober, this is why I got into the internal energy arts, because I wanted to be able to get high without I wanted to get to some of the same spaces I had in my early experiences with plant medicines and psychedelics without the ups and downs of drugs and without, you know, depleting my kidney energy, which substances do. And that's why I got in. One of the reasons I got into these practices. And now I can get way higher than drugs than with them. I mean, I've been having crazy psychedelic-esque experiences in my meditation practice recently. Just mind-blowing. Like, come up like, oh, Jesus, I need to come back to earth now. You can get higher without them. So practice without them, yeah, you're not going to master the exercises right away. It requires work. It requires daily training. Over time, you build your chi, becomes more and more tangible. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, you have to commit to a long-term training in this to see the highest results. It's not for those who just want a quick fix. So having said that, do your practice sober. It's the only way you're going to keep advancing in the long run. And then you get way, anything you're experiencing now while you're high, you're going to experience things 100 times more powerful if you do years of daily practice. I know we're in the age of laziness and instant gratification, but have some discipline, motherfuckers. All right, let's see what we've got on Instagram. Let's see if we've got any questions on Instagram. Blood and semen after bouts of non-ejaculatory masturbation. This might be a problem. You might want to look at your technique. There could be a lot of this, but basically blood and semen, that's more of a like doctor physician type of issue, not something for someone on an Instagram video to address for you. So I would be careful about that. If you hope you aren't using like $1 million point or something like that, that's not a technique I recommend. Okay, Morales Yoga says, if I only have 5 minutes a day, what one practice would you recommend? It depends what your goals are. This is the thing, is like, if there was just one practice where you did it for 5 minutes a day, did everything, that's all I would need. That's all I would teach. But the reality is that, you know, it's a system. As far as internal energy cultivation, it's a system. There's like certain practices you do for a while and then you develop that quality from the practice. You don't need that anymore. So you move on to something else. So it just depends. But in general, everyone, you know, the average human being on this planet, they had 5 minutes to do one thing. I would recommend working with the breath, like some basic breath work stuff, just getting, you know, slow, calm abdominal breathing, or like a good Qigong practice, like Zhan Zhuang, if you're doing it properly, which you can also work on your breathing within that. But if you only have 5 minutes a day to practice, it means that you're not prioritizing things very well and you need to create more space in your life to practice. Realistically, just in the bigger picture. Okay, Surikato is asking what my music channel is. Spotify, Highwalker with a Y. Highwalker. It's like Skywalker, but with an H. H-Y, Walker. Spotify, pretty much all music stuff. I got an album on there. Skywalker. Okay, Smaku Jim says, what do you think about using flashlight for training? Is it helpful or distracting? I'm going to assume that that you meant fleshlight, as in like the pocket pussy toys. It's like a, you know, rubber fake vagina that you have sex with, or you could do other things with the two, I suppose. But I'm guessing that's what most people do with them. unless you're actually talking about a flashlight, like this dude's like, okay, using a flashlight, like, you know, I'm sure that things could be done with a flashlight too. But I'm guessing you're talking about a fleshlight sex toy. Okay, this can be kind of a double-edged sword or a double-edged fleshlight, so to speak, because it can add a different degree of sexual stimulation. But here's the thing. If you have premature ejaculation, I don't recommend working with one of these until you develop some endurance, because they're overstimulating. They, in some ways, you know, I've used them before. I've got like 25 in my closet. Please. No, I don't have 25 fleshlights, but, what was I even talking about? Okay. They can be overstimulating because they're basically designed to make you ejaculate, right? And they're often a bit constricted. They put a lot of pressure on your frenulum. I've found them to be more stimulating like than a real vagina. And for this reason, I would be careful about it, because it can make your premature ejaculation worse. It can make you tense up even worse if you're using one of these things. Having said that, it can also, it could potentially be a training tool for you to learn how to manage yourself experiencing arousal. But they also have this, like, I mean, they're plastic. God only knows what they're made of, like weird toxic materials and stuff. So I don't know. It's kind of a thing there of like, it can be beneficial, but it can also be unnecessary. Like, it's not something I use these days. But there was a time in my training where I was playing with one. And I was like, sure, it was fun. It can be pleasurable. Can feel really nice. So it's up to you. It's not required by any means. Okay, Steve's asking what I referred to as a training tool, but could worsen premature ejaculation. I'm talking about fleshlights, baby. I'm talking about pocket pussies and sticking your dick in them and ejaculating all over the place because it's too stimulating. Unless you're a sexual kung fu master, then you can go with that fleshlight for 24 hours straight. You'd be raw after that. Okay, getting back to... V33 is asking, should we be belly breathing all day or only when we want to be in a relaxed state? Ideally, we should. I mean, abdominal breathing is how we're meant to be breathing. It's how our body's designed to breathe. And when we're not abdominal breathing, it means we're stressed out. We're in a state of tension. So ideally, it's good to belly breathe 24/7. Is everyone able to do that? No. You probably, I don't even claim to be able to do this. I still find myself being in like tense chest breathing occasionally, like, you know, times of stress, whatever. I'm doing better though. I at least have the awareness though to be like, okay, I'm a little stressed out. Come back to the belly breathing. What is belly breathing? Belly breathing is breathing from the belly. Abdominal breathing. Dow Aurelis is saying, okay, since we're getting into questions, how are you, Jonathan? I'm doing well. Is there a point of mastery to where it almost becomes effortless, like complete transmutation of the sexual energy into the orbit? Yes. Basically, I think what you're asking is like, does it become natural for your sexual arousal just to be integrated into your orbit and like move in that direction? Yeah. And it took me a while to get there. It took me several years, but now it's just like kind of a, I want to say it's my primary, almost like, maybe not exactly like subconsciously what's happening, but it's much more naturally happening for me. Like for me, it just takes awareness. Just like, okay, just be aware, absorb my mind into the body. And yeah, sexual energy goes up my orbit, you know, kind of straighten the spine. It goes up there. It becomes more and more effortless the more you practice it, for sure. Patrick says, headaches from energy in head, what to do? Get the energy out of your head. Excessive concentration, excessive focus, too much looking at a screen, liver, heart heat rising up into the head. I mean, most people have this, you know, I get it a lot. I just had acupuncture a couple of days ago, had a lot of heat in my upper body that got cleared out, felt quite nice. Okay, here's something, triple heater sound. Open the hands up. Just feel like your body is a clear tube. You're going to exhale with a like heat. Feel like you're blowing out through your body like a clear tube into your feet. We could also use some of this right now. Do that for, I mean, a few reps will help. Do it for 5 or 10 minutes. It'll really clear things out. That's a good one to do before sleep. It will clear that heat out of your head. Restful sleep. But that often, I mean, it could be many things. It can be a lack of kidney yin, you know, lack of water to contain and cool the fire that's rising up into the head. It can be, you know, excessive heart fire. It can be liver heat rising from a variety of reasons. You know, looking at screens, electronic screens is a big cause of that. Too much thinking, tension in the head. You know, gallbladder channel goes right here. So like a lot of tension here. Into here is gallbladder, often kind of triple heater in this area. Depends what area of the head it's on, you know, but hopefully that helps. All right, what else we got? Boom. Wandering Soul says, John, I went wandering. Did you answer my question? How fitting. How fitting that Wandering Soul went wandering. I don't see any questions up above, so it may not have made it into the box. So try retyping it. YouTube takes sometimes questions if they have like a certain sexual word or something in them, they don't get posted for me for some reason. So I have not seen a question from you. Smucker Jam says, just asking because what I'm using it, I often go back to porn or just browsing for new fleshlight and 5 minutes later browsing porn. Okay. So there's my kind of a more of like the lustful quality of like looking at a vagina, having a rubber replication of it, and it kind of drives you into this lustful thing. So yeah, if that's happening for you, stay away from them. Just use your good old left hand. Ain't nothing more yin than a man's left hand, let me tell you. Now, you know, yeah, stay away from them. Just self-cultivate in other ways. That's what I'm saying is like these things can, yeah, they can help or they can just, you know, be distractions in the long run. I prefer things a little more organic. Mayur says, what did you say about the gallbladder? I have sudden aches in that portion of my head. Gallbladder meridian, which is the yang organ of the wood element. It's paired with the liver. Gallbladder's right here. The meridian of it, I mean, it goes all the way up the back of the body, kind of the head, but it kind of comes right here, this area, gallbladder. So if you have tension, headaches in this area, a lot of tension here, this means liver yang qi rising up into the head, which again, a lot of people have this. So what helps with this, kind of cooling foods, cucumbers, bitter greens, dandelion root tea is actually really good for clearing liver heat. Dandelion root coffee. Actually, I roast this shit and it tastes good. Yeah. Got to clear your gallbladder meridian, son. Jack G says, do you know any good Qigong, acupuncturist, etc. in or near Sedona? No, I don't. I never really, you know, never visited acupuncturist, never went to Qigong classes in Sedona. I was just out doing my thing, exploring the area. No, I know some very interesting people in Sedona, but I don't know any acupuncturists or Qigong teachers there. I'm sure there's some though. You know, you can't throw a crystal without hitting a damn healer in the crotch in Sedona. Great place. One of my favorite places. I almost moved there last year, but just didn't align. I'm in Asheville and really happy with this because Sedona is just a little bit too fiery for me. Very, very, a very young place there. Asheville has a lot more water, a lot cool, more grounding for me. French 333 says, can semen retention damage the prostate? Well, first of all, I can't give medical advice. I'm not qualified to give medical advice. Anything you follow, listen to from me is you're doing so at your own risk of, you know, your prostate exploding and you dying. Okay. Having said that, I don't believe that semen retention damages the prostate. I think that there, now I will say that I think that it can potentially lead to some like inflammation and prostatitis type symptoms. This is something I've experienced personally. So what happens is when you're having non-ejaculatory sex, non-ejaculatory sexual stimulation, and you don't ejaculate, well, obviously it's non-ejaculatory. Prostate fluid is being, it's filling up, the prostate's swelling up with prostate fluid. And when this fluid just builds up and builds up and builds up, which it often does when you're doing semen retention, when you're never ejaculating, and if you're having a lot of non-ejaculatory sex, then it can create, basically the prostate gets a little bit swollen up. And this can create tension in the area, pelvic floor tension. It can create some kind of like just a discomfort feeling in that area. It can also lead to painful ejaculations, painful sex after not ejaculating, blue balls type symptoms, all kinds of things. So that's a potential thing to be aware of. Now, the remedy for this is, I think I know, my tennis ball isn't around. Something I recommend after every non-ejaculatory sexual sex, masturbation, whatever it is, sit on a tennis ball. So you get a tennis ball. I've got a bunch of tennis balls. You put it under the perineum between the genitals and the anus, the taint and the soft area, and you sit on it. So it presses up into that soft area and you kind of move around on it, grind around a little bit. That will help kind of pump out some of the prostate fluid. Some of it will come out like it'll be pushed out of the penis. And you think like, oh, the semen, it's just prostate fluid, or you might urinate it out. Also direct prostate massage, which I know a lot of men are homophobic about, but it's extremely beneficial. Most guys end up with prostate issues. So it's just something to be very careful about. And I do personally, I recommend having an occasional ejaculation. I think it's good to clear out the pipes. Obviously not frequently, but for me, about once a month is a good duration for me between ejaculations. And I feel the best doing that personally. So I recommend. Take care of your prostate. Yeah. If you got any questions, feel free to type them in the chat box. Sorting through my Instagram feed, seeing if there's any other questions here. Since a marijuana doesn't belong in the same sentence, I think that's when I said marijuana and crack cocaine. I agree. These are, you know, that's a very different level of severity. But overall, just the theme of like relying on this. Maybe I'll just talk about this for a moment because I don't see any other questions on YouTube. I know that, you know, it's very common to take, people have vices. We all have vices. I've got mine. I do Qigong for hours a day and I push myself hard in various aspects of life. But just the thing with, you know, drugs and substances. Here's something I want to share on this is, Like sometimes I tell people, like, you know, I don't drink alcohol. I haven't drank alcohol in 8 years. I don't smoke weed. I do no substances, no psychoactive substances. Just not a part of my life anymore. So people are like, man, just how do you have any fun in your life? You know? And it's like, first of all, if you're unable to have fun without drugs and substances, something's wrong. But why is this? Why do we gravitate toward this need to like take these things that alter our chemistry? And what I think about is like when you were 6 years old, did you need drugs to have a good time? I didn't. Maybe, I don't know, maybe some people were smoking weed at 6 years old. I don't know, but I think most of us didn't. I think most of us had a lot more fun at that time in our life than we do now, even for high as a kite on weed or whatever. And why is this? It's because our energy gets blocked. We constrict the flow of life force in our bodies. Because when we're young, our life forces, our channels are wide open, our energy is flowing freely. And as we age, when we start to experience traumas, we start to have difficult experiences, we experience the intensity of life, we literally start to shut it down. We experience things we can't process in the moment. Like, I've been doing a lot of this work of this practice called inner dissolving. We basically just feel into the blockages of your energy body and dissolve them. It's not an easy process. The practice is simple. You literally just sit there and feel in your body until it starts to change and you follow it. You see the like holographic nature of the blockage and all the areas of the body it connects to. It's a very profound practice. So I've been doing this, all this stuff's coming up from my childhood. You know, I think I shared this in another live, just experience of extreme despair when I was 7 years old after being at this family reunion type experience. And it was something I took on from, I believe, from my grandparents because they were dying. They're literally dying. And I was taking that energy on. It's fucking heavy. It's fucked up. It was a really dark time in my life. And I was 7 years old. I had no, maybe seven or eight. I had no, like, who do I talk to about this? How do I explain this? Right. And I started to shut down a little bit after this. This is what happens. We experience things we can't really process. We shut ourselves down. And after years and years of this, we got a few barnacles on the ship, and we're not sailing so smoothly through life. We are stuck in these like arguments in our head. We're stuck in like the past, things that happened to us, things people did to us or that we'd like to do to people. Completely disconnected from the present moment, locked up with tension. Our energy is all constricted and it's just like a trickle through our channels by the time we're adults. And this is why a lot of us like to take drugs, is because it helps open things. They do open you up for sure. But the thing is that it's a compromise. You get something from that initially, and then afterwards you often feel quite worse. I mean, this is one of the reasons I completely stopped having weed, was that, yeah, I felt great, felt awesome when I was on it. Just woo, little spacey, little brain fog though as well while high. But then the next day I just feel like shit, just feel terrible. My hormones were low. My like energy, like I've been doing Qigong, just felt like more of a struggle. And I was like, well, why am I doing this anymore? Like, I want to feel good 24/7. I want like a smooth curve in my life rather than this sharp up versus a sharp down. Anytime there's a high, there's a low. So what I found to be a lot more powerful and sustainable in the long run is removing these blockages. And it's not easy work to kind of relive old experience. I mean, the other day I was doing this inner dissolving practice in deep, intense despair from 18 years old, intense, like void of the universe. It's hard to put into words. Again, it was like, holy shit, just deep stuff. And I felt pretty funky for a little while after that, but I kind of came back and let it through process. And I just feel like open and like, whoa, for the rest of the day. Just felt amazing. My energy was just flowing for days afterwards and something really like knocked loose. So I don't know. I prefer inner work because you control it. There's no up down. It's a constant. You can stay as high as you want for as long as you want. If you're willing to put in the effort, put in the gong fu, the discipline, which we need in this world. So, wow. That's my tangent on substances for now. And it's not to say you can't have fun. Like, again, like, yeah, if you have you smoke a joint on the weekend with the friends, whatever, it's not going to kill you. It's fine. You know, have a beer on the weekends, whatever. It's just, I don't know. I kind of came to a point in my life though, where it was like, I don't need that anymore. I like the challenge of how can I get myself into that state without requiring this thing? And this requires presence in all situations. For example, you're in a social setting, you know, you're feeling a little nervous and stiff, my ass is all tensed up. You could have a beer, sure. Or you can like connect with your body and say, okay, let's release, sink into the ground. Oh, no, like this area here, the back of the head down to like the C7 vertebrae. If you release and sink this area, whoom, it helps release a lot of this like anxiousness when you're in a social situation. And just, you start to pay attention to your body, start to pay attention, like, okay, let's relax. Let's breathe. deeply. Let's notice what I'm thinking about, worrying about. Oh, this person might be thinking this about me. They might be thinking that. Let go of that. Just get into the body. Practice self-love. Practice just being your authentic self. And that becomes a high. That becomes a practice. You know, things like that. That's what I'm really into now. That's how you really grow, is having that kind of approach, I would say. Anyways, enough of that rant. Prosperity Pilot says, how much do you bench press? I'm not like a fucking titan. I can do, for my working sets of bench press, I do about body weight, do like 170. I think I have to think about that. I could probably do more than that, just as like a one rep maximum. I don't know. I'm not a bodybuilder. Like, I'm not like, yeah, I'll bench press 300 pounds, bro. I can do like 170. I don't know. I think that's about what I've been doing for like 6-8 reps. Okay, Chidez Eddie Villa says, how do you increase sperm count? Don't ejaculate frequently. Go longer without ejaculating. That will improve your semen production. Keep your testicles cool. I like to ice my testicles throughout the day, because if you're wearing underwear, your testicles are all pressed up against your body. They get warmer than they're supposed to. Your testicles are supposed to hang down. They're supposed to hang off of your body to stay cooler. So when they're all smashed up against you, you don't have very good sperm production. So keep your testicles cool. Things like maca root, getting, you know, your essential minerals, magnesium, zinc, boron, selenium. These things will improve your sperm production and your sperm count. Stay away from seed oils, phytoestrogens, etc. Patrick says, what's worse, smoking weed every day or ejaculating every day? Well, thinking about it, I've done both. I mean, I've done both at the same time. I've ejaculated every day while smoking weed every day. You know, my like eight, about I think 19 to 22 or so, I smoked weed pretty much every day. Not like a like morning to evening like some people do, but I would have it like in the afternoon, right? And I think I'd probably ejaculate every day as well. But I've also had periods where I was smoking. Well, I don't know if I've ever had periods where I was smoking weed every day but not ejaculating every day. So I honestly am not sure, but neither is really great to do every day. You're going to feel pretty depleted. Your hormones are going to suffer from doing either of those things every day. There's a lot of, you know, I've seen a lot of studies showing that people who smoke weed every day, their estrogen's higher. Weed increases your estrogen levels, your testosterone plummets. And I've, you know, it's been very obvious to me this effect of it as well when in times I've had it. I don't know what's worse. I don't know. I would choose to not do either. So yeah. It's one you're going to have to sort out for yourself. I mean, obviously you don't die from either. They're not like, you know, dangerous, horrible. Like, you know, if you want to ejaculate every day, that's fine. If you want to smoke weed every day, that's fine. But it's probably not optimal. Wandering Soul, no, I still don't see your question. Let me pull this. Sometimes the chat's a bit weird today. Yeah. XXXXXXX says, how can I better pull sexual energy away from the genitals and into the body? Develop your mind-body connection. Develop your ting jin. Ting jin is a term in the Taoist practice. Basically, it's listening energy. It's the ability to absorb your mind into your body, because this is how you move energy. Watch my video called How to Circulate Sexual Energy. I think it's How to Circulate Energy and Sexual Energy. And I think this will be very helpful. But basically, the better, it's not making it a visualization, but making it a literally, the more you absorb your mind into the body, the more it creates an interaction, and you start to get into the energy body eventually. And literally just like, it's just like driving a car with your mind, just whoop, energy goes up here, whoop, energy goes here. But it takes some practice, which is why the more kind of somewhat forceful methods like the power lock and things help in the beginning, just like, oh, just pull the energy up. But the more you're doing Qigong practices, the more you're, you know, working with the Dan Tian, learning to circulate Qi through the body. This is why I say the foundation of all this work is Qigong and the internal energy cultivation practices, because it develops the ability for you to consciously work with your energy. And then that translates into you being able to better control your sexual energy. Luke Walsh Therapy. Thanks, brother. Zach says, what do you think of practicing sexual kung fu and going years without ejaculating? I don't think this is realistic for most men because, I mean, I think like probably 90% of men, you'll have a nocturnal emission at some point. So you are ejaculating. I know like a lot of guys do senior tension, like, well, it doesn't count. Well, I've been 5 years. It doesn't matter. But just so there's that. Because the thing isn't, your semen doesn't live forever. Eventually it dies and the body either reabsorbs it releases some of it through like urine or feces, or it releases some through a nocturnal emission. So, and coming back on this point of, I personally believe it's balancing to have an ejaculation occasionally. The majority of systems I've studied in, like I've read a lot of the texts, like the Taoist sexual texts, Yellow Emperor's classics, all these things. And it's actually rare for systems to encourage men to never, ever, ever ejaculate. I know that's common in like the Brahmacharya and the Hindu systems and maybe some of the Buddhist systems as well. But in general, the Taoists say that it's obviously ejaculating too frequently is harmful, but going too long can be harmful as well. And I've experienced this myself. I believe that the endocrine system starts to atrophy a bit. If you go too long without ejaculating, you actually lose some of the benefits. So for me, it's about finding that sweet spot, cyclical semen retention. For me, it's about 4 to 6 weeks. So to see what works for you. The Remedy 33, glad you found it helpful. Oh, I need some water. I'm a thirsty man. I need a big half-gallon jug of water. John King says, same here. I've been sober for 7 years. No smokes of any kind, no drugs, hardly any caffeine. Caffeine is the only thing, but I'm about to do away with it and only drink green tea when needed. Excellent. Now, one thing I want to mention here, though, is on this topic of substances is that for me, quitting substances, it was never really like a forceful thing. It was always like an organic, like it was just a realization of, oh, I don't need this anymore. Because sometimes like just really, really forcefully trying to remove something in your life, it just, you create a battle with it and actually strengthens that pattern. So if you're trying to like get rid of something, the best thing to do is to create a new dynamic, like create a new habit that gets you higher, that makes you feel better. So for me, Qigong, Tai Chi, internal martial arts, meditation, breath work, this stuff gets me way higher. Being in nature gets me way higher than taking substances. And just as that became more and more apparent, it was like, well, I don't need to do these things anymore. It's often just like habitual, like so many other things. Billion Endone says, why is porn and sexual images bad if they increase sexual energy in the moment and it feels good? Well, if you shoot up heroin, it increases pleasure and some level of energy in some sort of way in the moment, right? But long-term, it's creating very damaging effects. Same thing with porn. Yes, you could say it stimulates your sexual energy, but in a very, not in the most beneficial way. In fact, I don't think it's beneficial at all. It creates a very false heat. It creates a very lustful, like it's this dynamic where it wants to pull the energy out of your body. It drives you towards that ejaculatory experience of sex. And it completely fucks up your dopamine, basically, you know, your reward arousal response in your body. Really, really fucks it up. This is why a lot of men in their 20s are experiencing erectile dysfunction just from watching porn, because their dopamine circuit's fucked up. Being with a real life person doesn't feel as exciting. So I understand the point, and I kind of thought that maybe that was the case early on in my practice, but now it just like, at least like watching hardcore porn and things like that, like I can see like, you know, maybe like art, there's like some like more artistic sexual images. Like when you read some of the Tantra books, like what's the book, Sexual Secrets by Nick Douglas comes to mind. A lot of like tasteful tantric art that, sure, it kind of like inspires sexual desire, but that's different than like watching hardcore porn zoomed up on the genitals. It's just like, oh fuck, I gotta go ejaculate now. Like it just overwhelms your your nervous system, quite frankly, and drives you to be a premature ejaculator and have sexual dysfunction. That's my experience on, not to mention the astral entities and the weird things feeding off of you when you're doing that. Wandering soul, nope, your question is still not here. Yeah, if there's like any sort of word that could be any kind of trigger, just like put dots between each letter of the word or something. This happens occasionally. Spinning to Life says, how long did it take for you to master self-lingam massage? Well, as far as like the, like in the context of like the sexual kung fu practice, I'm not in like lingam massage as an art in itself, like hitting the right reflexology zones and things, or just as like, you could say skillful masturbation. I like that. The sexual kung fu approach of basically stimulating the sexual energy, letting the energy move through the body, put my hands up. Nope, no ejaculating. I'm done. Walk away with that energy intact. As far as that, I mean, I got pretty good at it within a few months in some sense, but you know, years you get, it's still a tool occasionally for me to like deepen my techniques, explore more methods of working with sexual energy and transmuting it in various ways, working with different energy channels. It's kind of like, you know, just be straight up for me in the past few years, self-cultivation has been a way for me to develop new insights in my practice, new techniques, because I mean, let me slow down. Just from what I see other people teaching out there, there's a lot of great stuff, but there's higher levels to the sexual practice and the orgasmic potential than what a lot of people are teaching. And that's what I'm kind of working on my next level teachings. I talked a little bit about upcoming course. It's going to be beyond multi-orgasmic, kind of multi-orgasmic man part two, the more advanced sexual alchemy stuff. And that's some things that I've developed sometimes with self-pleasure, sometimes with my partner, things that spontaneously arise. So it's become a method for me to just like experiment and explore. Like, well, what if I bring it up here? What if I do this? And yeah. Plus, the porn industry has subliminally perverts your sexuality. Absolutely. You don't learn love and connection from porn, which I believe is an integral part of the sexual experience. It's an outward-downward flow versus an inward, internally recycling, rejuvenating. Smaku Jam says, what about going for a tantric massage with a happy ending? Is it bad for our energy? Well, here's the whole thing. Here's my thing on this. If that's what you want to do, that's great. That's great. It's wonderful. There could be a lot of benefit to that. But I feel like for a lot of people, the whole like tantra massage and, you know, oh, I'm getting initiated into the tantric lineage by having sex with this guru or whatever, you know, it's often just like you're seeking a hand job. You're seeking someone to go jerk you off. And it's great. That's fine. But just like being realistic about that. And like, yeah, sure, you could do some tantric practices during that. But like overall, that's what you're really seeking, is someone to give you a hand job. And that's fine. But just understand that that's the underlying thing. Not trying to like make it this whole spiritual story. Like, no, it's so I can learn to open my third eye and awaken my kundalini, which certainly can be a part of it. But the main, really coming like down to like, where is this really coming from? You want to get a hand job. And it's fine. Just being realistic with it. I've just seen a lot of this stuff in like especially like the neo-tantra Western stuff, where it's just like, it gets really sleazy and like trying to like, oh no, it's because I'm spiritual. It's like, you're just trying to get laid. That's fine. But just, the more open and honest we are about like the underlying intention of it, the less it gets weird for everyone involved. You know, I've known some tantra gurus who were huge perverts, did not have their sexual energy under control, did not have it integrated with their love, compassion, integrity. And it's common, unfortunately. It's common. There's a lot of them out there. And there's some really amazing heart-centered healers out there as well. But you just, you know, it gets sticky. Human sexuality is very sticky. No one's, people who claim to be the perfect enlightened gurus are often the ones most fucked up. I mean, It's gonna be scandalous, but look what happened. You know, the Dalai Lama and he French kissed a little boy at the beginning of the year. Now, I'm not saying that I think the Dalai Lama is a huge child molesting pervert or something like that, but like he French kissed an 8-year-old boy. I'm pretty sure the Dalai Lama should know better than that. I know there's people backing up like, no, it's because he's pure of heart and all the, and like he, anyways, I'll just leave it as that. No one's perfect. Don't put people on a pedestal. Be realistic about what it is you're doing and why. That's all. Just be, you know, yeah. Stay solid. 804 says, I binged relapse on my day 80 streak. This is very common. One extreme to the other. I went a long time without it, and now I'm jerking off 7 times in a row to porn. People get stuck in extremes. You're excessively polarized. It's because there's too much force. You were suppressing your sexuality. You were completely repressing it. This is not ideal. Whenever you squeeze something with people's, your sexuality, it's like a loaded spring, right? When you're trying to suppress it, it's like pushing on a spring, like, and the harder you push, the more pressure it builds up. As soon as you lose your grip, boom, it springs out and it drives you to jerk off to porn 7 times in a row or whatever after, you know, your relapse. This is why integrating your sexuality, learning to have sexual pleasure regularly, I think, is an important part of the human experience. We all need to have orgasm. We need to have sexual pleasure. I believe it's as important as eating for us. That's why the world's so fucked up. One of the many reasons is that people don't know how to experience sexual pleasure in a balanced, sustainable way. And so these kinds of things happen. So what I encourage you to do is have like a more balanced approach. This is why my intention now isn't like I'm trying to go forever without ejaculating. Ejaculating is the enemy. Whenever ejaculating is the enemy, you know, when you're in a war with an enemy, it controls you in a certain sense. So don't make it a war. Make peace with your sex drive. Learn to work with that energy. Learn to transmute it. Learn to have non-ejaculatory orgasm sexual experiences. And then it won't be like day 80, I need to watch some fucking porn now. Oh, and then like, you know, it's like the incredible Hulk sex beast comes out and drives you, and you wake up next to like, oh fuck, what happened? So this is just a sign of imbalance, and it's very, very common. People do it with all kinds of things, you know, diet, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of things. It just means there's an imbalance. There's an unhealthy relationship there. Okay, Wandering Soul says, when ejaculation day comes, considering I haven't released in a while, is it okay to ejaculate 2 to 4 times because of all that buildup fluid because I release a lot? I do not recommend ejaculating 2 to 4 times in a row. This will deplete you. So, no, I do not recommend that. I don't know if I even have much else to say on this. I know there's a tendency to, like, this is another common thing where like you ejaculate once and it's like, well, I might as well many times. But if you don't do that, if you have like a balanced cycle, like for me, it's once a month, 4 to 6 weeks. And I got into that cycle after years of experimenting with different things, really rebuilding my core energy. It doesn't deplete me. In fact, it doesn't really feel like I've ejaculated, mostly probably because of my sexual kung fu practices. I'm able to absorb and store a lot of that energy in my body. Then it's like I shoot out an empty shell. So no, I recommend ejaculate once and then, you know, find your ideal. Maybe it's like once a month. Maybe it's once every 2 weeks. It can vary on your age, health, how much you practice. If you're really like transmuting the energy, or if you're just, your only practice is not ejaculating, which isn't a whole lot of a practice. Steve Bugatti says, please post this after you get off the live. It should be archived on my page. I also post, these are all posted on my YouTube channel, my Sexual Kung Fu YouTube. All my lives are on there as well. Brandon Riff says, should we also give ourselves prostate orgasms through perineum massage? I didn't know. I'm not sure if you mean just like massaging the perineum to create some release of fluid, or I'm not exactly sure the context of that, like a prostate orgasm through perineum massage. But yes, perineum massage can be very beneficial. You can kind of indirectly stimulate the prostate through the perineum, which is one reason I recommend the tennis ball practice I mentioned earlier. All right, guys. Thanks for joining, everybody. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Sexual Kung Fu Podcast. Make sure you grab my free ejaculation control guide in the description and follow Sexual Kung Fu on Instagram and YouTube.